Bullseye with Jesse Thorne is a production of MaximumFun.org and is distributed by NPR.
It's Bullseye. I'm Jesse Thorne. So there is a very weird, very funny show on Netflix right now. It's called Nate, a one-man show. It's taped in front of a live audience at a theater in L.A., and the star of the show is Nate. Nate has a giant handlebar mustache, a bandana over his head, and he's wearing a fleece plaid jacket, open with no shirt on underneath, chest hair exposed. And Nate, well, he kind of does crowd work. He makes the audience laugh, then he makes them uncomfortable. At one point, he wrestles a stranger. At another, he improvises a handshake with them. Nate is, as you might have gathered, a character. He's created and performed by comedian Natalie Palamides. You might have seen Natalie as part of the crew in those Progressive insurance commercials. She plays Mara. She's been workshopping Nate for years, and Natalie will admit that he is kind of a jerk. Much of the show feels like a dialogue with the audience. As Nate ropes them into different, increasingly uncomfortable situations, he explores toxic masculinity and consent. It's a unique and funny show. The Bullseye crew was turned onto it by our friend Carrie Poppy, who also hosts Maximum Fun's Oh No, Ross and Carrie, so we decided to let Carrie interview Natalie. Before we get into the interview, let's listen to a clip from Nate, a one-man show. In this clip, Nate has approached an unsuspecting member of the audience with an innocent enough question. What's her name?
I'm so sorry, actually. I never got your name.
You didn't ask me before, but it's Helen.
Yeah, I'm so sorry I didn't ask you. It's Kellen?
It's Helen. H-E-L-E-N.
Helen?
Yeah, you got it.
Oh, probably couldn't understand because it's actually pronounced Helene. It's Gaelic. But whatever, it's your name, say it how you want. Even though you're saying it wrong.
Natalie Palamides, welcome to Bullseye.
Hey, thanks so much, Carrie Poppy. How are you?
I'm pretty good. How are you doing?
I'm all right, all things considered, I suppose.
Yeah, so I usually see you pretty regularly. We're good friends. But I haven't seen you in the last 8 months or something because of this quarantine nonsense. How's your life been?
It's been a hell of a year, Carrie. I've had a healing journey this year, as I'm sure maybe you're a bit aware of. Did I tell you? I did like a 20 days water fast.
Oh, wow.
You know, I always try weird health stuff.
Yeah, you do commit to things completely. And that's actually kind of why you're here. We want to talk to you about Nate, a one-man show, which is your new Netflix special.
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is. And it's essentially a taping of your live show, which how long did Nate, the live show, run?
Oh, gosh. Well, I premiered it at the Edinburgh Festival in 2018, August 2018, and then toured it all over the UK and Ireland, New York, Los Angeles. For a while, I would say I toured it up until the pandemic started. My last run of shows was in February 2020.
Oh, wow. And yeah. When did it start? Or when did you conceive Nate?
Oh, I guess I started workshopping the show in December 2017. Mm. But I originated the character, I guess, in a drag workshop in Philadelphia with the Pig Iron Theater Company in 2012.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. You know, he was baby Nate. He was much different. He didn't have a mustache or as gravelly of a voice at that time, but I still consider him to be the Nate character. Yeah.
Okay. So walk us through the steps then from 2012, you conceive of Nate Palomino, whose name mm-hmm. is very similar to yours. I don't know if you realized that.
Yes, it's a nod. It's a nod to my name.
Yeah. Take us from there to here.
I was doing a drag workshop in Philadelphia with the Pig Iron Theater Company, and we were devising a play that was based on the work of this guy, or inspired by the work of Charles Ludlam. And he was famous for doing classical plays in drag, you know, performing very campy, but still being able to move people to tears. So throughout that workshopping process, I was just generating a bunch of male characters, and Nate was one of them that popped up, and the first piece that I did with him was all silent, and he was kind of sadly drinking a 2-liter bottle of soda in his basement, all in silence. You know, it kind of goes with the theme of trying to express himself. So he was, you know, I didn't verbalize it then in that piece, but he was very sad, chugging this 2-liter bottle of soda, kind of caught up in his feelings. And part of the bit was just burping intermittently. And also, I think the act of finishing the bottle of soda was probably also somewhat impressive. Part of the bit maybe was the task.
Yeah, you were drinking a whole 2-liter bottle.
Yes, yes, exactly. And then the timing of the burps.
What kind of soda?
Just like a soda water. I remember it trying to not get too sugared up, but, you know, it needed to be carbonated.
Yeah.
So that I could have the burps. Yeah.
And so at that point, it's just sort of a moment in this character's life, and you must not know much about him. Does Nate then sort of surprise you? Is that the process? Do you have to impose a life on him, or does he just come alive over the next few years?
That's a really good way to put it, Carrie. Yeah, he just kind of comes alive. Whenever I get into character, he just says stuff off the top of his head. You know, I don't always know what's coming.
Mm. Oh, wow. So, I mean, do you sometimes feel surprised by the stuff Nate says?
Sure. Sometimes I surprise myself. Yeah, I mean, I'm not that meta where I, like, think I'm Nate or something. I'm not going to go all, you know, Joker on your or anything. But, yeah, sometimes I definitely am surprising myself. Or sometimes, you know, during a workshop, I'll say something and realize, like, oh, you know, went too far there. Probably shouldn't have said that. Or, you know, oh, Nate said that. But that was Nate. That wasn't me. So it's fine.
It's Bullseye. I'm Jesse Thorne. Our guest is Natalie Palamides.
The show is such a midpoint between a play and an improv performance. And it's not quite stand-up, but there is that heavy crowd work. How did you decide between, while you were filming this, how did you decide between treating it as more of a play versus as one of these like comedy live events?
Well, you know, I think I just put up what the show already was. You know, I didn't really decide how I was going to treat it, like a play or a stand-up comedy special. It just is what it is. So we just shot what already existed. And I guess in terms of just living in the comedy scene in Los Angeles, I try not to put a label on myself of what it is. I mean, I think it's a comedy show, but, you know, I love using theatrics. I love theatricality, and I love how you can elevate a piece by making it theatrical and having some genuine moments or, like, some cool spotlight effects or, you know, waterworks on stage.
Yeah, there's a literal shower on the stage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like to get creative. I don't want to put myself in a box and say, like, oh, it's this. I don't want to limit myself. I just, if I think of something, I'll put it in the show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so then does Nate have a script?
No, not currently. But, I mean, from doing it over and over again, I just remember it. So it is scripted in a way, in the way that I just remember to do those things the same every time. You know, there are written jokes, and there's definitely a structure that the show follows. But, you know, I keep it really loose. And, yeah, I've never written it down. Maybe I should do that. Because it's been a while since I've done it. I usually just rely on my muscle memory. Yeah.
If you get hit by a bus or something, this dies with you.
It dies with me. I mean, there's a recording of it, I guess, that could be referenced.
Well, that's true. That's why we're here. You're right. My guest is actor and comedian Natalie Palamides. Her new Netflix special, Nate, a one-man show, has been described as a powerful exploration of masculinity and consent. And much of the show feels like a dialogue with the audience, and there's a lot of audience participation. Let's listen to a clip. In this clip, Natalie's character, Nate, has enlisted an audience member to join her on stage in the role of her best friend, Lucas. In Nate's world, they're about to share their signature handshake, but of course, to the audience volunteer, this is totally new, and they're forced to improvise along with Nate.
Peanut butter, spread out. Peanut butter, spread out. Then you put on the jelly. And you put on the
bread.
And then you put in the oven.
So what's the most difficult thing that's happened at one of these live shows?
Oh, gosh. Well, you know, before I wrestle the guy, I give him that folder that he a waiver that he has to sign to wrestle. But before there was the waiver, I should take it back a little bit. So I always had the waiver in the show just as a gag for a prop for them to sign before they wrestle me. But now there's some directions in there that say, you're about to wrestle Nate. Please let Nate know if you have any sensitivities or injuries. And remember, Nate is just a little lady, so please wrestle gently, but with passion. And so before I kind of had that little disclaimer in there, I wrestled a man who slammed me very hard on my neck.
Oh my God.
So there's just been, that was probably the most dangerous wrestling situation I got into. And there were a couple others that were, you know, a little bit risque. And, you know, because I'm really egging people on sometimes when they come up and pushing their buttons. And some people, they just get into it, you know, and it becomes a little bit real for them. So whenever I went to the UK, they're big on risk assessments in the UK. So they kind of made me put a disclaimer into the waiver. But what I found was that it was actually a lot easier to wrestle playfully with me. Whereas previously they were kind of maybe a little bit aggressive most of the time. So I guess another difficult moment, and this has only happened twice, when somebody walks out of the show.
Oh.
Especially during kind of a sensitive time, during a sensitive part of the show. You know, it just catches me off guard. And, you know, I just feel bad that somebody felt the need to walk out. But, you know, I encourage it if somebody needs to, you know, that's what they need to do.
Yeah.
But sometimes I'm like, oh, like both the times somebody walked out was during a part of the show where I was wishing they just sat there for one more second, you know, because I'm like, I got you if you just like for one more second, if you could hang on. But yeah, it's understandable.
How has the feedback been now that the show's on a big platform?
Oh, well, I think it's been generally pretty positive. I try not to seek out, you know, negative feedback. You know, probably the worst feedback I got was actually from my parents.
Oh, okay.
My dad nearly had a heart attack when he saw it. And, you know, he sent me a slew of texts that were, you know, largely negative, I suppose, but like I guess a phrase that could probably sum up all the text would be, he said, I'm glad your grandparents aren't alive so they didn't have to see this.
Okay. Heavy stuff. And is that just because you're largely nude in the show?
Yeah, I think so. And he's like, what are you doing? He's like, can't you do something less raunchy? Even though, you know, I said to him, I said, you're just saying that because I'm your daughter. I said, you would like it if somebody else did it because my parents, they love Austin Powers. They love Sausage Party. They love raunchy comedy. You know, they introduced me to Austin Powers when I was in third grade. So I'm like, you did this. You know, what do you expect?
Even more with Natalie Palamides still to come. Stay with us. It's Bullseye from MaximumFun.org and NPR. This message comes from NPR's sponsor, NerdWallet, a personal finance website and app that helps people make smarter money moves. Have new money goals this year? Whether you want to use credit card points to plan a family vacation abroad once it's safe, or take advantage of low mortgage rates to refinance and save for your child's education, NerdWallet is the best place to shop financial products to help make your 2021 money goals happen. Discover and compare the smartest credit cards, mortgage lenders, and more at nerdwallet.com.
I started listening to Ono, Ross, and Carrie shortly after I broke my arm.
I was allergic to water. I knew it was time to make a change.
There's something about Ono, Ross, and Carrie that you just can't get anywhere else.
They're thought leaders, discoverers, founders,
healers,
luminaries.
Ross and Carrie don't just report on fringe science, spirituality, and claims of the paranormal. They take part themselves.
They show up so you don't have to.
But you might find that you want to.
My arm is better.
My landlord came back from the dead.
Just go to MaximumFun.org.
Thank you, Ross and Carrie.
Ono, Ross and Carrie is just a podcast. It doesn't do anything. It's just sounds you listen to in your ears. All these people are made up. Goodbye.
Gunsmoke. Grey's Anatomy.
Choose me.
Game of Thrones.
You know nothing, Jon Snow.
None of these shows would exist without one guy and his very famous wife. How Desi Arnaz invented television as we know it on NPR's Planet Money podcast.
It's Bullseye. I'm Jesse Thorne. If you're just joining us, our guest is Natalie Palamides. Natalie is a comedian here in Los Angeles. You might have seen her as a recurring character on those progressive auto insurance commercials. She's also got a unique and fascinating new special out. In Nate, a one-man show, she plays the show's title character. Nate is a chauvinist jerk. He ropes audience members into weird and uncomfortable situations. It's as awkward as it is funny. You can check it out now on Netflix. Natalie is being interviewed by our own Carrie Poppy, host of Maximum Fun's Ono, Ross, and Carrie. Let's get back into it.
One word that always comes up in reviews of Nate and of your work in general is brave. And that always makes me think of Lucille Ball's line where she said, I'm not funny. What I am is brave. Do you see yourself as brave?
Ah, that gave me goosebumps when you said that, Carrie. I mean, I guess so. I mean, I like to feign bravery. But, you know, I'm always a little bit nervous. But I mean, maybe I just don't give a... I don't know if that's bravery, not giving a and bravery. Are they equatable?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think of bravery as being scared and overcoming the fear, not the absence of fear.
Yeah.
I don't know. Do you feel afraid and you push through, or do you just not feel afraid?
I think I feel afraid and I push through because I'm excited about getting into trouble. I like to do mischievous things. But it's fun to, you know, put yourself in a dangerous situation and then you get a little bit of a rush when you pull it off. No?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I get you.
But sure, yeah. I mean, you know what? I'm flattered that people say I'm brave. I like to do scary things because I think it's fun.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't do scary things to harm anybody else or to hurt myself. That's not the kind of danger I seek out. Mm-hmm. It's more in the spirit of fun, you know?
What's the most trouble then you've gotten into for your art?
Oh my gosh, the most trouble. Huh, that's interesting. I don't think I have really gotten into trouble. I mean, I've made mistakes that I've gotten, I guess, maybe a slap on the wrist for, but, you know, it was an honest mistake, like, and they weren't too angry with me about it. Like, I flooded the stage at UCB. Usually it has to do with making a mess. you know, or like my trumpet case, I melted my trumpet case, set it on fire during a show. Well, it wasn't really on fire. It was just like smoking and bubbling up. I guess usually like I get in trouble for trying something on stage that I didn't tell the producer I was going to do. And usually it involves like water or fire. Like one time when I was at the Virgil, I did this fire breathing bit and I was really close to the curtains and I didn't tell the producer of the show that I was doing fire breathing. And, you know, they were very surprised. I mean, the bit went over well, but afterwards they were like, hey, you know, you gotta tell us about that stuff. Yeah. And so now the producers of that show, I think it was the Super Serious show, maybe the Hot Tub show at the Virgil. And they reach out to me now every time before I do the show. And they're like, is there anything we need to know about? And usually there is. Like I've brought Nate's shower to that show, you know, fire breathing. I've brought a big, a large industrial fan and put a bunch of baby powder into it. I, you know, make out with people, which is fine. I mean, maybe now it wouldn't be fine, but yeah, sometimes I just kind of go rogue.
One thing that I really admire about you, Natalie, is that you have this sort of internal engine and this internal compass, to mix my metaphors, where you really know what you want to do artistically. And if someone tries to direct you away from that, you politely thank them and move on. And
that's true.
Yeah. And one of the biggest examples of this is a year or two ago, without saying too much, you had been offered this sizable role in a big comedy film. And you turned it down to go do Nate for 2 weeks live in London, I think.
Yeah. I mean, that wasn't easy to do, but yeah.
I mean, so at the time, I mean, did you hem and haw about that or did you just know, no, like Nate's an important thing and he's going to be something? And did you just know?
Oh, well, I mean, they were really trying to work it out, honestly. But, you know, I don't know if I'm that great of like an artist that I wanted to turn down a huge comedy film. I mean, I definitely would probably rather do my art than some, you know, show or movie made by the Hollywood machine or something. But definitely it eats me up still inside. Like when it recently came out, I was like, you know, but, you know, that happens. And you gotta go for what's true to you, you know.
Yeah, you must be glad you did it now.
Yeah, no, totally. I mean, a slew of things happened. Like if I had left London to go do that movie, I wouldn't have gotten hit by a motorcycle, which is also weird. Like during that time in London, I got hit on the day that I would have had to leave to go do the movies.
Oh, wow.
I was like weirdly supposed to get hit by this motorcycle. Did you know about that? I told you, right?
You must have. What? Obviously, you're fine. What?
Yeah, it was a miracle. It was a miracle.
Why do you say you had to be hit by it? Did you get something good out of that?
I don't know. The butterfly effect, you know? I mean, I believe in fate and destiny and all that. I mean, I believe you also have to make your own luck and you got to work hard and stuff like that. But I don't know. I'm a believer of everything happens for a reason.
Yeah, fair enough. I hear that story and think, damn, should have gotten out of London a day earlier so you don't get hit by that motorcycle.
I know. Well, that definitely crossed my mind when I got whacked by that thing. I was like, freaking damn it. Like, if I had just gone to go do that movie, I would have not been hit by this thing. But also, I should have just, like, been looking. Well, the thing is, okay, I got hit. The motorcycle was coming up the middle between stopped cars, and you know, I wasn't using the crosswalk, but traffic was stopped. I thought it was safe, but I was jaywalking, you know. So
there's
I gotta
the
take
lesson,
responsibility
folks.
Don't jaywalk. But maybe I had to learn not to jaywalk so that later in my life I didn't die from getting hit by a bigger vehicle.
There it is.
Now
there
I'm
it is
very,
we found the lesson.
Very diligent about crossing the street now.
Oh,
and you
good.
Know what's funny is like when I called my mom to tell her I got hit, She was like, I knew that was going to happen to you. You never look. You never look when you're crossing the street. And I freaking looked. I looked. Anyways, Carrie, I appreciate you making me sound honorable and valiant that I stood my ground and went and did my art. But I definitely was bummed that I couldn't do this movie. But yeah, I mean, it is true that my art is always more important to me. And I think that I would always choose art over some Hollywood film. Not that it's like crappy, because I definitely wanted to do it.
Sure.
But you know what I mean? There's that story about, you know, what's his name? Charlie from It's Always Sunny. Not that this is the same level at all, but he chose between series regular on a network show and developing It's Always Sunny, even though he didn't know if it was going to get picked up or what. And he chose his art.
So I want to talk before we go about Nate as a character. Mm-hmm. So there's this very important moment in the show where Nate has just realized he might have done something very, very wrong, but he's not sure. And he turns to the audience and he just point blank asks us, did I do something wrong here? And the audience sort of peppers the replies. You hear a yes from the corner and a no from the other side. And yes, no, yes, no. And usually the audience is kind of split.
Mm-hmm.
So the first time I saw the show, I don't know if you'll remember this, but afterward I asked you if you had an opinion. Do you think he did something right or wrong? And I won't say what you said here, but you had a very definite answer, which kind of surprised me. And I wonder, do you still have a definite answer to that question, or has it gotten more gray over time?
Yeah, I think I still have a definite answer, but I'm not interested in telling people what I think. So I would be interested in engaging in a conversation about the nuance of that moment, but I, you know, with somebody after the show, but the purpose of the show is not to preach my opinion of what it is. You know, I would like everyone to feel heard, and I would just honestly like it to be more of a starting point for conversation for people on all sides, you know, on all points of the wheel of the conversation, to feel like they're able to enter into it and what they're welcome in the conversation. And, you know, we're allowed to use words that are maybe usually deemed as too taboo. You know, it's like we have to be able to say these things, I think, even though right now I'm like carefully choosing all of my words and making sure that I don't say anything wrong. But that's what I would like to surpass, hopefully, one day. And I, you know, would like to encourage everybody else to, you know, treat each other with a bit of empathy when they're discussing these things, and, you know, so that we can feel more free to discuss these things without feeling like, oh, we're going to get harpooned by the person we're discussing it with. And because I think in general, you know, of course, you know, there's always outliers, but I think most people aren't setting out to hurt anybody when they want to discuss these things. And I think most people want to feel understood. And if we could just approach these kind of conversations with that in mind, I think that would be helpful.
Natalie, thanks for being on Bullseye.
Thank you for having me, Carrie.
Natalie Palamides. Her new special is called Nate, a one-man show. It's streaming now on Netflix. Also, check out our guest interviewer, Carrie Poppy's podcast, Oh No, Ross and Carrie. I just saw her tweeting that she was about to interview an expert on QAnon. So if you want what will almost certainly be an informative and funny interview about a terrifying subject, check that out. That's the end of another episode of Bullseye. Bullseye is created in the homes of me and the staff of Maximum Fun in and around Greater Los Angeles, California, where construction across the street from my home has not only made it very difficult to record, but also has led me to go through the automated car wash about twice a week, which honestly, that's actually kind of a side benefit. I love going through the automated car wash. Our show is produced by Speaking Into Microphones. Our producer is Kevin Ferguson. Jesus Ambrosio and Jordan Cowling are our associate producers. We get help from Casey O'Brien and Kristen Bennett. Our interstitial music is by Dan Wally, also known as DJW. Our theme song is by The Go Team. Thanks very much to The Go Team and to their label Memphis Industries for letting us use that. You can also keep up with the show on Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube. We post all our interviews there. And I think that's about it. Just remember, all great radio hosts have a signature sign-off.
Bullseye with Jesse Thorne is a production of MaximumFun.org and is distributed by NPR.